Welcome to Asphalt Talk, a podcast by and for asphalt professionals. Join our expert hosts as they tackle real industry issues to pave a smoother way for asphalt suppliers and producers. This podcast is sponsored by MAPA, the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association. Founded to promote quality and accountability, MAPA has been serving the asphalt producers of Missouri since 1990. And now a public service announcement from our sponsor, MayCreate Design. Google Translate doesn't work for web designer to paving company translations. You say hot mix and it thinks you're talking about the latest snack craze. Wouldn't it be nice to work with a designer who knows the difference between binders and bitumen? Work with folks who have been speaking your language for the past 17 years. Visit maycreate.com. That's M-A-Y-E-create.com. Because if you think your website sucks, so does everyone else.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to Asphalt Talk. I'm your host, Dale Williams, with the Missouri Asphalt Pavement Association. Today, we're sitting down with Lieutenant Colonel Jason Harris, a highly decorated Air Force officer, leadership expert, and keynote speaker for the 2026 MAPA annual meeting on January 6th. Lieutenant Colonel Harris, it's an honor to have you with us today. I'm looking forward to this conversation and giving our listeners a preview of insights, experiences, and messages they'll be hearing during your keynote. To start, could you share a bit about your background and career path? What led you to the military service and ultimately to the work you do today in leadership, trust building, and organizational culture?
Absolutely. Thanks a ton, Dale, for having me on the podcast. Really excited to be here with you this morning and also really excited to come to you all's event that's fast approaching. For me, Dale, I'm a fourth generation military member. And as a fourth generation military member, it's kind of in my blood to join the military. But really beyond that, what drew me to that service wasn't just the uniform. It was more about responsibility. In my career, I've been a mobility pilot flying C-130s. I've been a special operations pilot, special operations mission commander, amongst many other jobs. And what I realized is that every decision that you make, it impacts and affects people's lives. And I understood that very early on. And your decisions, while they impact people's lives, they impact the equipment and they impact the mission. And so over the course of my career of almost 30 years and thousands of hours of flying in airplanes around the world, what I realized is that the highest performing teams, it wasn't the smartest teams or the most experienced teams sometimes. It was the teams where they trusted each other the most, and that is what really mattered. And so since I have started my company back in 2018, I've had the luxury of working with organizations across the country, sometimes around the world, and I realized that there was a common pattern that we were seeing. And it didn't matter if you're flying airplanes or if you're running a paving crew down I-70 throughout the state, trust is an absolute multiplier for organizations. You see, when you leverage trust, you turn that small group or large group into a coordinated unit. And that is how we get things done. That realization that trust matters and that it's not a soft skill, that is the foundation of the work that I do with organizations, from keynote speaking to executive coaching to facilitating workshops. And that's the work on leadership, it's on culture, and ultimately what I call the no-fail trust framework.
Well, you know, I should have started off by thanking you for your service to the country. And four generations, wow, that is very impressive. Did all four generations serve in the same? No.
So I served in the Air Force. My mom served in the Army. Her father served in the Army Air Corps initially, and then he was in the Army. And then I believe my maternal grandfather, all nine of his brothers, they all served in various branches, and then their father served in the Navy. And so for me, when I was growing up, my mom being enlisted in the Army, she said, son, if you're going to go into the military, go in the Air Force. Son, if you're going to go into the military, go in as an officer. And of all the times that I disobeyed my mom, I'm glad that those two times I listened to her, because it worked out fairly well.
Well, again, thank you and your family. That's quite impressive. You almost have every branch of the military covered.
Absolutely.
So you've developed a well-known philosophy called no-fail trust. For listeners who may not be familiar with it, can you explain what it means and why it's so central to effective leadership?
Absolutely. You know, it's a realization, Dale, that High performance, it isn't just built on talent alone. It's built on trust. And no fail trust, it's the idea that trust is not optional, it's operational. In aviation, the difference between a successful a mission and catastrophic failure ultimately comes down to trust. And no fail trust, it's a framework that's built on three things. Starts with trusted training, followed by trusted processes that then allows us to trust our people by empowering them because of the training and because of the processes. When I talk about no fail trust, I want you to consider Navy SEAL Team 6 jumping out of the back of an aircraft over the open water, landing on a Navy vessel to have snipers take a shot to rescue an American hostage. I want you to think about Delta Force, their operators in the middle of the night going to take out a terrorist cell. I want you to think about those elite Air Force Special Operations air crews that are taking Delta Force and SEAL Team 6 into harm's way and what it takes for them to be able to deliver time on target, plus or minus 30 seconds, or lives are hanging in the balance. That's really what no fail trust is all about. And we have distilled it down to allow organizations and teams to leverage that training, leverage that understanding so that they can implement some of those same things, some of those same frameworks in their teams, the same way we do in the military environment.
Well, you bring up SEAL Team 6, and I had the opportunity. Robert O'Neill spoke at a conference I was at, and just to get a peek behind the curtain of what it takes, one, to become a SEAL, and then the elite SEAL Team 6, and we've had a number of other military folks speak, and just what it takes. It's really amazing what you guys do. So during your time as an Air Force officer and pilot, you operated in environments where trust wasn't optional. It was life or death. Can you share a moment in your career where trust played a decisive role in the outcome?
Yeah, in terms of my career, there's been so many different things that have happened, so many different experiences, and trust was literally that thing that saved our lives, that operational thing that made a significant difference. And for me, I recall this one moment where I was in combat, I was flying over Iraq in special operations, and I had a crew of people in the back of the aircraft doing a mission, and we were coordinating with the team on the ground, and in that moment, we realized that there was an aircraft that was flying directly towards us into our airspace that we had no contact with. And in that moment, we started trying to coordinate to figure out how do we connect and contact that aircraft. Turns out it was a remotely piloted aircraft. It was about as actually is a little bit larger than the aircraft that we were in. And if we didn't get the problem solved, that aircraft would have impacted us. And in that moment, I had to max perform the aircraft. And so there was a level of trust that had to happen with myself and my skills, the other pilot, their skills, the crew in the back of the aircraft, and what they were coordinating to maintain our eyes on the targets on the ground. But then also for them to trust me, the pilot, to get us out of that situation where we could walk away and live to fight another day. And in that moment, it's a realization that there was trust all around. And also the other piece to understand is, when we talk about this idea of no fail trust, the idea of trust and it being operational, there's two sides to it, Dale. The one side is the functional side. That's your skill sets. Can you fly the airplane? Do you know how to lay asphalt? Do you know how to run a team and a crew and all the pieces of equipment? And then the other side of that is the relational side of trust. What kind of relationships have you built? And are they built on a foundation of trust so that when the fit hits the shin in the middle of the night, you know that that person's going to be able to take care of you and take care of the team and get the mission done.
Your comment about relationships, and that's really a big part of what we do here as an association. The event you're going to be speaking at is a opportunity for the paving contractors to build relationships with the DOTs, because we're trying to build the work. The DOTs, representing the government, making sure that they deliver what they want. And I think when we have a relationship, when things go south, we can work through it much better, and it really comes down to trust. So I really appreciate that comment that you just made there. So many of our MAPA members lead teams in high pressure, high consequence environments, not in the cockpit, but on construction sites, in plants, and on busy highways. What lessons from military aviation translate most directly to civilian leadership and teamwork?
Yeah, great question, Dale. One of the things that I would say, there's a whole lot of different terms and phrases that we use in aviation, but the one that jumps out immediately is aviate, navigate, communicate. When things go south in the airplane, when we get the red lights that are saying that something is going horribly wrong and it could be catastrophic, we abide by this mantra: aviate, navigate, communicate. Stay focused in flying the airplane. Keep the shiny side up. Then once you understand that you're flying the airplane and you've got control of the situation, then you start navigating. What's next? Where do we need to go? And how do we get to the nearest suitable landing surface? And then we start communicating with the folks on the ground, the folks outside of the aircraft and other entities to help us figure out the rest of the problem. And I think that applies with your crews and the folks that are going to be there at your meeting, because they have to stay in control of the situation at hand, no matter how challenging it is. They have to prioritize those critical tasks first. And then in the world of asphalt, in the world of what you guys are dealing with out there in some of the most dangerous environments, in the middle of the night at times, safety is the priority. So safety first, production second, and then everything else follows that. And so I would say aviate, navigate, communicate will be very much applicable to the folks there in your organization. I'd also say that standardization, it saves lives. As pilots, we don't follow checklists because we don't know what we're doing. We follow the checklist because we're professionals. When we follow the checklist, that way we don't have to guess because things are standardized. And the third thing that I would say that's very applicable to your membership is that trust is a competitive advantage. A lot of times, again, people think that trust is a soft skill. No, it's a hard skill. It's a competitive advantage. When you got your foremen, your operators, your truck drivers, plant managers, and various people within the different aspects of what you all do, when they trust each other, the work flows, production increases, mistakes, they decrease, the safety factor increases exponentially, and quality overall increases. Things get faster. And they get safer at the same time. And so what I would just say, to really put a pin in it, Dale, is operational excellence is just trust in action.
Great. So your message emphasizes personal accountability and ownership. How do you encourage teams and individuals to embrace accountability without creating fear or blame?
That's a great question. The idea of fear and accountability. One of the things that I'll talk about in that keynote is that you have to create a culture. Everybody is responsible for the culture that they're creating. And at times, what we see is people are creating a compliance culture, shut up and color, do as I say, versus a commitment culture. When you're creating that commitment culture, you're creating a culture that is based on trust, that is based on accountability. And what I like to say is that accountability without trust, that's punishment. Accountability with trust, that's performance. And so in the aviation world, what we do is we have a what we call a debrief culture. And in that debrief culture, it's not about blame. It's about understanding what role we have, understanding who's accountable for what. And the goal ultimately when we're debriefing is to learn. We separate the person from the event itself so that we can understand what went right, what went wrong, and how can we do better. We ask questions like, what happened? Why did it happen? And what did you learn? And what can you do next time? One of the things that I tell clients that when I'm working with them, especially in the executive coaching side, is I say, there's a difference in the question that you ask your folks when you're holding them accountable. You can ask them the question to say, what were you thinking? Which is almost like punishment. Or you can ask them the question, what did you learn? That's a distinctive difference in terms of accountability that is out of a position of trust versus accountability from a position of fear. And at the end of the day, accountability, it shouldn't make people afraid. It should make them better.
Wow, that's great advice. I really like that. So when you speak to organizations around the country, what are the most common leadership challenges you see today, and what advice do you give leaders facing those challenges?
Well, there's a few things that we're facing right now in the current environment. There's the speed of change, there's communication breakdowns, and there's burnout and there's disengagement. And so, in these three challenges on the speed of change, leaders, they're being forced to adapt faster than their systems allow. They're being forced to adapt to innovation that is happening when it comes to AI, when it comes to new and different technologies. And then they're also being forced to adapt as it pertains to the workforce. You know, there is some studies have shown that there are four generations in the workforce. And so that senior generation, there's a disconnect with that junior generation and vice versa. And so there, that second piece that I talk about, that second challenge of communication breakdowns, people are assuming clarity instead of confirming it. I get to see that even at times with my own team where I make an assumption of clarity, but I didn't make it clear that they should have done XYZ. And I see that often with organizations that I work with, that communication breakdown, there's no clarity, there's no understanding, and then there's a lack of expectation management. And so we have to be more clear in our expectations that we set. We have to be more clear in how we communicate. And we have to also understand how to better and best communicate with each other. Your generation communicates differently than my generation, which communicates differently than the youngest generation coming into the workforce. It doesn't mean that one is better than the other and that one is right or wrong. It just means that we communicate differently. And ultimately, we have to figure out how does the other person communicate? And if I understand how they communicate, then I can understand how to connect with them and how to provide a level of clarity that they need to be able to get the job done. And then the last one, that burnout and disengagement. You know, people aren't just leaving jobs, they are leaving environments and cultures that lack trust. And so we have to create that culture that actually invites people to want to stay, to want to contribute, to want to be held accountable to the standards that we've set in that organization. You know, so what I would advise people, slow down, create the clarity that's necessary, reinforce process discipline, and show them the reason why you have that process discipline in place. And never underestimate the power of recognition. People want to be recognized for the things that they're doing. And then people, they perform longer and stronger when they believe that their contributions matter. At the end of the day, it comes down to this fundamental idea, Dale. Leaders, they don't remove pressure. Like they can't remove the pressure that people feel. But what leaders can do is they can create clarity and they can create that culture of trust.
Okay, so you've flown thousands of hours, trained countless aircrew members, and led teams through critical missions. Looking back, what experience had the biggest impact on shaping the leader you became?
In terms of shaping the leader that I've become, you know, flying thousands of hours in the cockpit, but then also learning from people outside of the cockpit. I've learned a lot from people that worked for me or that were lower ranking than me in terms of how to best treat people, how to set people up for success, and how to ensure that we built a level of mutual trust. And then I've also learned from those folks that were not good leaders, unfortunately. And there are a lot of lessons along the way that I could capture and say, I never wanted to make someone feel the way that person made me feel. And so those are probably the lessons that actually stick out more in my mind across the course of my career. You know, there was one time, Dale, where I was in a combat mission flying C-130s in Iraq, and the particular commanding officer, he came out with a level of arrogance, a level of ego, and it was all about compliance instead of commitment from his perspective. And unfortunately, he almost got myself and my crew killed one day because of his arrogance and because of his ego. And what I walked away, the learning lesson I walked away from that, Dale, was one, I never want to put people's lives in jeopardy. Two, I never want to make people feel like they don't have a say so. And I never want to disrespect people in the midst of them actually trying to be good and perform their jobs. So there's a ton of lessons I've learned along the way, but that is one of those ones that stick out. And it's those lessons that I learned from those people who didn't understand leadership. They only wanted to operate from compliance.
So for those joining us at the MAPPA annual meeting, can you give a high-level preview of the themes or key takeaways you plan to share in your keynote?
Yeah, in terms of the keynote, again, I'm really, really excited. I've done quite a bit of work in the construction industry, the concrete asphalt industry. And in that keynote, I'm going to be talking about my no-fail trust framework, that trusted training, trusted processes, trusting people. by empowering them through training and processes. We're going to spend time talking about culture and what kind of cultures you're creating and that you're cultivating. We're going to spend time talking about leadership. There's three types of leaders or three types of personas. There's the leader, there's the manager, there's the boss. So we'll spend a little bit of time in that. And then we'll talk about what it means to be prepared and falling to the level of your training by way of a story where I'm talking about jumping out of a perfectly good airplane at 18 years old. And so that keynote is going to cover quite a few things. It's going to have some awesome stories in there. And then I'm going to make space to be able to have people allow people to ask me questions based on the conversation that we're having. And so get ready for high impact, high intensity, full throttle storytelling with some solid lessons and some solid takeaways that they will be able to act on immediately from that keynote.
So you built a reputation as an engaging and inspiring speaker. What's the core message you hope attendees walk away with after hearing you speak in January?
You know, the core message is trust is a competitive advantage. And beyond that, Dale, is you don't need a cockpit to lead like a pilot. You don't need to be in special operations to operate like a high-performance special operations team. You have everything you need right now at your fingertips. It's just a matter of what you're going to do starting now to create that environment to connect, to communicate with people and build trust. Because again, trust is absolutely operational, and that will take you to the next level with your team and in the business and how you operate, and you will see success in your organization if you leverage that.
So before we wrap up, is there anything else you'd like to say to our listeners, especially those who will be hearing you live at the annual meeting?
Yeah, I'm super excited to be joining you all for this annual meeting. I look forward to shaking as many hands as I possibly can. Dial in, come in, show up. And again, I'll be hanging out, looking forward to meeting everybody. If you want to check me out beforehand, feel free to go to my website. If you want to ask me a question beforehand, feel free to shoot me an email at jason@nofailtrust.com. And super excited to see everybody here coming up real soon at the event.
Well, thank you for listening to Asphalt Talk, the podcast by and for asphalt professionals. If you enjoyed listening and learned something, please leave us a review. Your review will help us connect with other professionals like yourself so you can keep the conversation going.
1992 called, they want their website back. Stop apologizing for your crappy site and stop working with that company who thinks hot mix is the latest snack craze. Work with folks who have been speaking your language for the past 17 years. And get a website that's not a gigantic pain in the you-know-what to build. Visit maycreate.com, that's maycreate.com, for a free consultation and quote. Because if you think your website sucks, so does everyone else.